The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Now, you may know Damien Barr from his acclaimed memoir, Maggie and Me, which was a coming-of-age memoir in Thatcher's Britain. But he has now written his first novel. It's called You Will Be Safe Here, and it goes into a fascinating and shameful part of British history, the Boer Wars. Damien, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
It is fair to say it is a pretty shameful part of British history, isn't it? If not necessarily acknowledged by modern day British people.
I think the fact that it remains a hidden history adds a layer of indignity to the shame that people feel when they discover what Britain did in South Africa in 1899 to 1902, which is that we invented the concentration camp. We enacted this policy of scorched earth against the Boers, which just means farmer in Dutch.
So what does scorched earth mean?
Scorched earth, well, it's literally scorching the earth. We kicked and ploughed salt into the soil so that nothing would grow there afterwards. We killed the animals and threw the innards down the well to poison the water for the men who were out fighting on commando. We created a homeless nation of women and children. 33,000 farms were burnt.
So what was the thinking behind that?
The thinking behind that was that the farms were where men were fighting on commando in very small units. And they would use the farms to refuel, to rest. And the English thought that they could break the army by cutting off the supply chain. What they did was they created a homeless nation of women and children, an entire nation that was homeless. And then they concentrated them into camps, which is the simple explanation for that expression, concentration camps. It's just a concentration of these people into camps.
Which the likes of Jacob Rees-Mogg recently described as only being for their own protection.
I was livid when he said that. That's a lie that was told 100 years ago that's being repeated now. It is not true that women and children were put there for their own protection. More women and children died in those 49 white camps than soldiers died in the war. Let's just hold that thought for a second. More women and children died than soldiers died in the war. And there were at least as many black camps. And we don't know very much about them, but we can guess that the fatalities were even higher there than they were in the white camps. So these places were horrific. Emily Hobhouse, a campaigning, pioneering Cornish woman, went out there. She reported back to Britain what was happening. Nobody believed that a Christian nation would do these things to women and children. Typhoid, starvation, all the rest of it. But, you know, that is what was happening, and the government knew.
What provoked it? What led
to the war?
Yeah, to the war and to this dreadful policy.
Well, the British government became very concerned about the voting rights of gold and diamond miners in the Orange Free State and the Transvaal. As you can imagine, not at all about the gold and diamonds that they were mining. And basically, a war was provoked with these two small nation states. And the entire empire descended.
Yeah, what was the British involvement in South Africa at the time?
Well, the British were mainly out in the Cape. They had ended slavery, which had driven the Dutch settlers inland, and the Dutch formed these two free states, the Orange Free State and the Transvaal. And the British largely ignored them because what they were doing was opening up the interior of Southern Africa and saving them a lot of trouble with local tribes. But when gold and diamonds were discovered, suddenly the British took an interest in what was happening. So really it was motivated economically. But Canada, Australia, New Zealand, India, the whole empire descended on this, you know, this relatively small part of the world. And they were vastly outnumbered, the Boers, hugely outnumbered. But yet they managed to, and the British thought that the war would be over in 3 months. They had medals made with the end date of the war. But the war went on for 3 years. And really it was the concentration camps that helped them win it.
What the outcome was, the British lost in the end.
The British won.
The British won.
The Boers lost. They signed the treaty. The British won. It became the Dominion of South Africa. And what happened at the end was that these people who held out until the end, the bitter enders, the bitter enders, and the British handed the keys to this new country to them. Now, during this period of these two sets of concentration camps, the white and black people were separated. They'd never been separated before. The black people didn't get rations for free. They had to earn them. There were no farms for them to work on. So where did they work? They worked as guards in the white concentration camps. So for the first time in history, you have black people having power over white people. And then at the end of this war, the British hand the keys to this new country to these white people who say, never again. And so what you get is apartheid.
What got you interested in this subject?
I became interested in it through a photograph I saw in the newspaper. It was a picture of a boy called Raymond Boys, B-U-Y-S. And Raymond had been sent by his mother and her partner to a camp that promised to make men out of boys. This is in 2011. And Raymond had been sent to this place, which was run by former soldiers. And there he had been tortured and beaten and starved. And he was unrecognisable. His own mother didn't recognise him when she went to the hospital. And the doctors and nurses who treated him were so traumatised they had to have therapy. And Raymond was killed in this place that promised to make men out of boys. And other boys had died there too. And I thought, he looked to me like a boy I'd gone to school with. And it couldn't have been him, but he looked just like him. A boy who'd come to my school in Scotland from South Africa, actually, for a year. Anyway, I began to, you know, be assessed by Raymond and, you know, and then what kind of mother sends her son to a place like this? What kind of man runs a place like this? What kind of country has places like this in it? Because, you know, there were other camps and there are other camps. They're still open. They're open right now. Boys have been sent to these places right now. And then that is what connected me to the wider history. You know, you start to Google and research camps in South Africa and you very quickly discover this history that we're not taught in schools of what the British did during the Boer War. And you make that connection, which seems to me very obvious, between the past and the present, and this idea that history is still affecting us. It's not the distant. I'm not asking people to feel guilty or bad about what happened 100 years ago. I'm asking them to say, this was a tragedy that we caused that is still having an effect today.
And this is the link in the novel, the link between 2011 and then going back 110 years earlier, and the nature of society there, that people get placed into camps to be re-educated, retrained.
And dehumanised, you know, this idea that we can contain people, dehumanise them, stop them being individuals and make them into the kind of people that we want them to be. You know, the women and children in the camps in 1900, they weren't allowed to worship in their own language. They weren't allowed to talk about the war. It was kind of funny that they were held on, you know, these massive camps by soldiers, but they weren't allowed to talk about the war. And in the contemporary camps, it's just the same. It's about making people into something that they're not, something that, you know, because you fear the thing that they are. And a lot of the boys that are sent to these places are gay. A lot of the boys that are sent to these places have learning difficulties. They've maybe been expelled from school. Some of them are homeless. But there are lots of them.
And are they mainly white?
Yeah, these are white camps. There are different camps for other kinds of other boys, black boys. There are different traditions, but they're very different from these camps which are run by former soldiers.
The nature of this society is not simply the apartheid state which has been dismantled, but it seems to be that they still have this belief that they can sort of, white people also treat other white people badly if they're in any way different.
Well, that's right. That's very true. And I think when you have a memory of that historically, especially if you don't acknowledge it, it becomes easy to see how you can do this to another group if it's been done to you. But the boys in these contemporary camps are told that they're going to get jobs as safari training guides. What they're actually being trained to do is go and guard white farms, because these white supremacists who run these places believe that there is a great murdering going on of a genocide of white South African farmers. You know, and this is a fact that we hear repeated all the time. It is not a fact. It is not true that South African farmers have been killed in any greater numbers than any other parts of the population. But it's really important to say that, because it's being used as a rallying point by white supremacists worldwide. The man who shot people in Christchurch recently said, we've got to save the last white people in Africa. It is the Boers, it's the Afrikaners, we've got to save them. Anders Breivik said it in Norway. And the only thing that President Trump said about the whole continent of Africa was about South Africa, and it was just after he was elected. He did a tweet saying, we've got to save these farmers. So the myth of the genocide of white South African farmers, which is what Katie Hopkins went to South Africa to make a film about and she was deported for, has to be called out, because it is not true. But nevertheless, you know, it's being maintained, and people hark back to, you know, this, the Boer Wars, and say, we can't let this happen again. We can't let our people be exterminated again like they were in 1900.
It's a fascinating backdrop to your fantastic first novel, You Will Be Safe Here. Damien Barr, thank you very much for joining us on The Last Word this evening.
Thank you.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.